You have some resurrection living results.
Ooh, yes.
Amen. If you say you got resurrection power living inside of you, you're not having any resurrection results, then it might be you need to really convict your heart and renew your mind.
Praise God.
About what's really on the inside of Jesus. Right. So we have resurrection power living on the inside of us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because of the blood of Jesus, because of what he has done for us and in us and through us, we have resurrection power living on the inside of us. Amen. We have that power.
Yes.
We have that power. Yes. It's up to us to believe it.
Yes.
And once you believe it, it's up to you to release that power. Amen. I remember when I was afraid to release the power.
Oh.
The power of God was on the inside of me. And I thought sin had more power than the resurrection power of Jesus. But the word of God said, when you're born again, sin no more has dominion over you. That was good news to me.
Yes.
That was good news to me.
Yes.
I had some stuff I couldn't shake off, some habits I couldn't quit. But that was good news.
Yes.
When I knew that the Lord had given me dominion over sin. And sin no longer had dominion over me.
That's right.
But I could conquer sin.
Yes.
I could decide what I wanted to think.
Yes.
I could decide what I wanted to feel.
Yes.
I could decide how I wanted to live.
Right.
All I had to do was make that choice to go with Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
And when I made that choice to go with him,
yes,
he gave me grace to do it.
Oh, yes, he did.
He gave me grace to do it. He gave me grace to do it.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. We have resurrection power. Living on the inside of us. Living. Not dead. Living. Living. Living power. Living on the inside of us. Amen. You see, before we got born again, we had dead power inside of us. Our spirit man was dead. But once we got born again, living resurrection power came on the inside of us. Amen. And you might not believe it because I say it. Because you might not believe it. Do you actually do it?
That's right.
Do you actually live it?
That's right.
Do you actually live it?
That's right.
It's like chocolate cake. I can make a chocolate cake. I can eat that chocolate cake, some of it, and tell you how good it tastes. But you will never know if you eat the chocolate cake yourself.
That's right.
You cannot tell me how good it is if you eat some chocolate cake yourself.
That's right.
Then you can say, oh, girl, you were right. That chocolate cake is good.
Very good, yes.
So we need to experience that resurrection power inside of us. And if you know Christ, that power's in there.
Yes.
You just got to believe it and let it out. Just got to believe it and let it out.
Yes.
Amen. We're going to go to the Word of God. What time is it?
It's
11:24. I ain't got much time, do I?
Take all you need. You got time.
But the subject I want to cover today is he came like us so we could be like him. He came like us so we could become like him. I want every one of us today to believe that in the spirit you are just like Jesus because he came like us so that we could become like him.
Amen.
I'm talking about when God created Adam and he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Well, how is it that we're like God? How is it that we're like God in his image? God doesn't have a physical body like we do. So we're not like him in the physical form. So we must be like him in our spirit man. God made us a spirit being to be like him. He made Adam a spirit being and he just housed him in a fleshly body. But Adam was like God in the spirit. In the spirit. And when man fell, God wanted his children back. He wanted us back being like him in the spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus came for many reasons. He came to show us the Father. He came to destroy the works of the enemy, of the devil. He came for a different reason, the Bible said, but I think God wanted us to become again like him. God wanted us to be again just like him in the spirit.
Yes.
In the spirit.
Yes.
And so John 3:16 said, for this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only son as a gift so that we who believe in him would not perish but have what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life cannot come except we what? Become like him in the spirit. Hallelujah. We weren't like him before salvation. All men sin, all men fail. So God wanted his children back to be like him in the spirit. He didn't send Jesus to judge us. He didn't send Jesus to condemn us. But it sent him to rescue us. Rescue us. To rescue us. And the word in 1 John tells us about Jesus. And it said that in the beginning was the word. Jesus is the incarnate word of God. And the word was with God, and the word was God. So Jesus always been with God. It's like God took Jesus and sent him here for us and wrapped him in flesh so he would be just like us. He came to be like us, but without sin. Can you imagine a God, a holy God, a loving God, a God that's in a spirit? He never knew the confinement of flesh, but he was willing to come in the flesh for you and for me. He gave up all that he had. He didn't come performing stuff because he was the Son of God. He didn't come doing things because he was God, although he was God. He came in the flesh as a baby, grew in the favor of God and man, the Bible said, grew just like we did. Jesus had to learn to walk. He had to learn to talk. He had to learn all the things that we do in the flesh. He had to read the scriptures so that the Holy Spirit could begin to show him who he was. He had to go and pray to the Father. He even had to be what? Baptized in the Holy Spirit by John. He took on flesh. He became like us so that we could become like him. And scripture says that in John 1:13, he was not born. He who was born not of blood. He was not born from the blood of any earthly father. They say a child gets the blood from the father, but the father carries the seed for the child. But Jesus was not born. He was not born of blood. He was not born from an earthly father, nor of the will of the flesh, John 1:13 says. He was conceived in a normal manner, nor the will of man. Mary and Joseph didn't decide to have a baby. Mary didn't decide whether I'm going to go have a baby. No, she didn't make that decision. So it wasn't the will of man that he was born. But it was the will of God. It was God's decision. God decided, I'm going to send my son. I'm going to wrap him in flesh. I'm going to let him suffer and die. He's going to be crucified. So that those that believe in him can be born again and become just like him. As he is, so are we in this world. I want you to stop seeing yourself as a weak believer. You're not a weak believer because what? You're like him. You're just like him. He's not weak. He's strong. You're just like him. The thing is, we got to start believing. Renew our mind, believe you're like him, and once you start believing like in him, you'll start walking. Amen. Just like you're him.
That's right. Praise God.
You'll start thinking like you're him. And it's not going to be, sometimes we think it's like this. I'm going to snap my fingers, all going to be done. No, it don't happen that way. It takes some time and it takes a process. You know what else? Sometimes it takes some tears. Sometimes it takes some praying and stand on your knees before the Lord. Sometimes it takes reading when you don't feel like reading the Word of God. Sometimes it takes praying when you don't feel like praying. It takes doing those things that you know you need to do because greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world when you don't feel like doing it. But He became like us so that we could be like Him. The Bible says in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was full of grace and truth. And what is grace? We've talked about that several times. We'll talk about it today. Grace, the grace of God, is God's divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. It's goodwill, loving kindness, and favor. All this is coming from God now. Of the merciful kindness of which God, exerting His holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ. He keeps us. He strengthens us. He increases our faith, our knowledge, our affection, and kindles us to exercise our Christian virtue. That's the fruit of the Spirit that comes out of us. Grace does that. Grace brings out of you what God put in you. Without grace, we couldn't bring it out. But grace brings out what God puts in us. And all this God does without an expectation of us paying a price. It's free. He gives it to us free. But He gave it to all of us. Unearned, unmerited favor. I like this part. God's grace changed the individual into a new creature without destroying his individuality. God did it without making clones. What if everybody was alike? What if everybody was just like him? All the women were just for Kims, and all the men was Vexon. It would be very boring. It would be very boring. But God made us new creatures without changing our personalities. He made us still to be different, even though we're new creatures. He made us new creatures without destroying our individuality. Miss Sheila can still be Miss Sheila, but she's the best version of it in Christ Jesus. Billy can still be Billy, but he can be the best Billy in Christ. Amen. So he did that, all of that. And one thing about grace, now we talk about Jesus full of grace and truth. Grace remains constant. God doesn't snatch away his grace. Grace is still there. The Bible talks about falling away from grace, but that wasn't because God took grace from them. It's because they backed up from grace. God always keeps his grace there for us. It remains constant. And that grace will preserve us until Jesus comes back. And he said it was full of grace and truth. What is true? Truth is what is true in any matter under consideration as expressed by God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and the written word. Only God knows truth. So truth is what's true in any matter under consideration. I don't care what it is. As expressed by God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and the written word of God. So God defines truth. We don't define truth. We just believe the truth and receive it. God has already defined truth. He tells us what's truth and what's not true. The news doesn't tell you what's true. Policies don't tell you what's true. The government don't tell the truth. Only the word of God and through God and Jesus Christ are we to know truth. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. To know Jesus is to know truth. If you know Jesus, then you know truth. He came like us so that we could become like he is. I think about he was full of grace and truth. He walked in the truth and the grace that he knew. And now that we are born again, we can do the same thing. You're not set free by, the word of God said, is the truth that makes you free. It's the truth that we know that makes us free.
Yeah.
If you don't know truth, you won't be free of that area. But once you know the truth, that truth makes you free. Jesus, he didn't just know truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is truth.
Yes.
And to have him is to what? Have truth. To follow him is to follow truth. To follow him is what? To be like him. And that's what he came for us to become just like him. Now I realize when parents have babies, the babies come here, they got part of the mama, part of the daddy. They might act like a little like mama, act a little like daddy. But that baby has to what? Grow up.
Yes.
To really become who they're supposed to be. And we as children of God, once we get born again, we have to grow up in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
In order to actually walk as sons and daughters of God, actually become just like him in actuality.
Mm-hmm.
On the inside, we're just like him. On the outside, we might be trying to do the best we can right now. But you're still like him on the inside. And if you don't give up, you keep growing, then you're going to get to be just like him in reality, in your talk, in your walk, in what you do.
Mm-hmm.
When you got a baby, what you do? You keep feeding that baby. If you starve that baby, it's not going to grow. But if you keep feeding that baby, after a while, that baby's going to grow and get strong and be mature and walk just like a man or a woman. If you keep feeding yourself the word of God, if you stay in that word, if you meditate on that word, if you allow the word of God to do in you what the word of God wants to do in you, guess what? You're going to start changing. You're going to be coming like him in this realm here in the world. What's in you is going to start expressing itself.
Yes.
And that's what we want. We want what's in us to express itself on the outside of us. We want people to see the nature of Christ on the inside of us on the outside.
Yes.
That's what Jesus wants too. That's what he wants. Jesus was born, made flesh like us, but without sin. He lived, he preached, he taught, he showed us the Father. He performed healings and miracles. He raised others from the dead, was crucified for the sins of the world, died and was buried, but he rose from the dead after 3 days. Peter said that we have been, and when he raised from the dead, we were raised with him. When Christ was raised, we were raised with him. In God's eye, in God's mind, and in spiritual reality, we were raised with him. 1 Peter 1:23 says this, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. When I read this verse, I thought about this. Our first birth was from a corruptible seed because of Adam. All men were born, everybody was born with a nature that was dead to God. But that second birth, we get born again. Now we're born what? Through the seed of Christ, and that seed is incorruptible. We were born again of an incorruptible seed through the word of God, which lives and abides forever.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I'm not worried about my salvation.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Because the incorruptible seed lives and abides forever, and I was born again from that seed, and that seed is in me, and it's in you. We have security in Jesus because what? We have become just like him. He came to be like us, but we to be like him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to look at some of Hebrews. We're going to go to Hebrews, the second chapter. Look at a little bit of that. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little more than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. I want you to look at that first verse. He was made a little lower than the angels. And he was, for the suffering of death, and was crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Since he tasted death for us, we don't have to taste death. We don't have to taste death. And I'm not just talking about physical death. I'm not just talking about spiritual death. We don't have to taste the dead things of this world because he suffered and tasted death for us. Anything that steals, kills, and destroys is death. If it doesn't give life and give it more abundantly, it's not God. So we can say no to every dead thing that comes because we have become like him and there's life in him. Matter of fact, the word of God says he's a life-giving spirit.
Yes.
He's a life-giving spirit.
Yes, he is. Thank you, Lord.
So he, the spirit in us, what? It gives life. He's a life-giving spirit. It was fitting for him, Hebrews 2:10, but it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things and bringing many sons to glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. It was fitting for him that him is God from whom all things and by whom are all things, nothing is created, wasn't created by God, and bringing many sons to glory. Who are those many sons to glory? They're us. Many sons and daughters to glory. Jesus suffered so me and you and all of us could what? Become sons of glory. We could become just like him. We could become just like him. So he made himself perfect, the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering. Hebrews 2:11, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. We're going to talk about a little bit about him being our high priest, but it's also our brethren. Because he came in the flesh, he's our brethren. And he's not ashamed to call us brothers. He's like us, but without sin, so we could become like him. So we could identify with him, and he could identify with us. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children have been inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, He took on flesh and blood for you, and he took on flesh and blood for me. He shared the same thing that we had to share him. He had the same temptations like we had, but yet without sin. It makes me think, okay, Jesus. People say this, you know, you ain't Jesus. No, but I'm like him.
Amen.
That's right. The Bible said I'm like him.
That's right.
The Bible said we're like him. We're like him. I'm going to tell y'all this. I'm going to tell it right now. Did y'all see that movie where the little boy got these tennis shoes hanging up on the wire or something? They belonged to Michael Jordan. The name of the movie was Just Like Mike. And he got the shoes, when he put the shoes on, he could run and jump and do everything Michael Jordan did on the football court. You got to have them shoes. Well, think about it this way. We just like Jesus. Everything that Jesus did because we're born again, we can do it.
That's right.
Just like Jesus. He said, greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to the Father. You think I'm doing some great stuff? You're going to do greater stuff, because I'm going to be the Father. We don't have to worry about the shoes. We are just like him because we're born again.
Yes.
We got the same spirit that he has on the inside of us. Hebrews 2:15 says, and release those who through fear of death for all their lifetime subject to bondage. Because we're born again, we don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear death. We're going to leave this world and we're going to not stay in this physical form if Jesus tarries. But it's like leaving one place and stepping into another. The body stays here, but our soul and our spirit goes to be with Jesus. So you don't have to fear death. If anybody here is afraid of death, you don't have to be. You really don't have to be. Knowing him takes away the fear of death. It takes away the fear of death. It takes away that fear. The 16th verse says, for indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. And we the seed of Abraham. Have you ever thought about this? The devil sinned, but God didn't help him. He didn't forgive it. He didn't help him. He didn't send nobody to try to redeem him.
Mm-hmm.
But when man sinned, God sent us somebody. He gave us aid. He gave us Jesus. Jesus came in the flesh so that we could become like him. I thought that was mighty funny. He didn't help the devil one bit. All the devil can look for is a fearful being thrown into the lake of fire. But it does give aid to us.
Thank you, Lord.
If you need it, the grace is there. He does give us aid. He does give us aid. Amen. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brothers. In order to give us aid, the 17th verse says in Hebrew 2. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, like us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest, and things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people.
Lord, thank you, Jesus.
You heard that saying? And the old folks, you said, they would say this, I done died one time, I don't have to die no more. But Jesus done died one time, he don't die no more. Because he doesn't die anymore, we don't die anymore.
That's right.
He suffered one time, and that one time was enough. There's power in his resurrection to save all of us, to heal all of us, to bring all of us to that faithful day when we see him face to face. He's done that. He's done that. For in that he... Oh, I forgot something. To make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted. Now he suffered being tempted. Don't think he was no flower bed of ease for Jesus. He was tempted and he suffered. When you're tempted by sin and you don't yield to sin, your flesh suffers.
Yes.
Until you get over through that temptation, your body get over that, you suffer. But the Bible says this, with every temptation we face, he has made a way of escape.
A way of escape.
If you just don't give in to the temptation and just believe the word of God and wait, escape is there. Escape is there.
That's a good word, right? Yes.
Escape is there. In that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. He can do that for us. He does that for us. So then in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews got some good stuff, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 4:14 says this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Remember I told you, he's our Savior, he's our Lord, he's our King, but he's also our great high priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast our confession. What does the Catholic Church to the priest do? People come and make their confession to the priest. They're confessing sin. Our high priest have already done away with our sin. We don't have to come and confess our sin. What we confess? We confess what the word of God said. We confess every promise.
Yes.
We confess every word.
Yes.
We say, Lord, your word says this.
Yes.
And I say this. I say the same thing the word says.
Yes.
The word says I'm strong, not weak. So I say, Lord, I'm strong, not weak. Your word says I'm healed, so I say I'm healed.
Yes.
Your word is never above and not beneath.
Yes.
I say the same thing.
Yes.
Your word is not the head and not the tail.
Yes.
I'm above and not beneath.
Yes.
Your word says I'm a brand new person, a new creation.
Thank you, Jesus.
Your word says I've been sealed unto the day of redemption.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit has sealed me.
Yes.
So my confession is the same thing that you say. I say the same thing you say. I say what you say about me. I know how I feel. I know what people are saying.
Yes.
Yes, to me, y'all. Okay. Gotta take care of babies. I always gotta take care of babies. So we're supposed to say the same thing the word says. Hold fast. Your confessions.
Yes.
Don't stop confessing what the word of God says about you.
Yes.
I don't care who tells you different. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what it looks like. Forget what it looks like. Forget what it feels like. What does the word say? Hold fast that confession. Because what? We got a great high priest.
Yes, thank
you. We have a great high priest.
Yes.
We don't have to make it come to pass. We don't have to make it true. We don't have to make it manifest. Our great high priest is making every word that his word comes out of our mouth not fall to the ground. He's bringing that word to pass. The only way it doesn't manifest is what? We stop holding on fast for our confession. We stop saying the same thing God says. We stop believing what the word of God says.
You got to say it out loud.
Right. You got to say it out loud. You got to believe it. You got to keep saying it. You got to believe it. I remember when I was trying to get off. What time is it? I remember when I was trying to get healing from my back. I had people pray for me. I prayed for myself. I spoke to my back, told it to be healed. And there would be a small amount of relief, but it wouldn't last. It wouldn't last. And every time it didn't last, I would say, well, I ain't got it. I didn't hold fast to my confession, did I?
No.
I let it go. I let my confession depend on my circumstances. I let my confession depend on how I felt. I let my confession depend on what it looked like. So I said, well, okay, something got to change. My mind need to be renewed and my heart need to be changed. So I got in the Word of God, read the Word of God, studied the Word of God, meditated on the Word of God, got me a book about healing and read that. And when that word started changing my mind, it started changing my heart. And guess what? My body started believing that what came out of my mouth was true. Do you know your body knows when you're speaking truth and when you're not speaking truth? Your body knows when you're speaking what you really believe, what you don't. And one day I got off the bed and I got up and my back hurt. It went all the way down like my back pain does. And I spoke to it, commanded the pain to go, and spoke my healing. And it quickly went. And I've been healed ever since. And one time I was having this pain on my hip on this side. It just, I don't know what kind of pain it was. And that time I knew this was after my back healing. So I spoke to that pain and told it to go. When I spoke to the pain and told it to go, it was like the pain was alive. It just got worse. I don't know what happened. I said, must be a spirit of the pain or something. It just got worse. But you know what I did? Because now I knew the Word of God, I held fast to my confession. And I don't care how much it act like it got worse. I don't care how much it act like it wasn't leaving. Guess what? It had to go and it went.
Amen.
And we have to do that. Does that mean that we win every battle? No. I still got some battles I'm standing on. But thank God for the ones I won. Thank God for the healing battles I won. Thank God for the battles I won over my thoughts and my mind and my emotions. Praise God for every battle that you win. And don't give up on those battles you haven't seen the manifestation yet. Hold fast to your confession. Because what? He came so we could be just like him. What would it look like if Jesus had gave up? I ain't going to the cross. It's too hard. I don't know if it's going to work or not. I don't know if it's going to. I ain't going. Look, some of us will say stuff like that. I ain't going. I don't know if it's going to work or not. I'm not going to do this. But Jesus didn't do that. He went to the cross. He said he was going to do it, and he did it. We're going to be ready to close because it's just about 12 o'clock. I just want to read this. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So what are we supposed to do? When you need help, what are you supposed to do? Come what? Boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly. Come boldly, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He came like us so we could become like him. So act that way when you need him. Don't be ashamed when you need him.
Yes.
And don't give up. Hold fast to your confession.
Yes.
Because you'll reap in due season if you faint not. You got to hold on to it. Don't go giving God no time frame. Mm-hmm. Hold on to your confession.
Yes.
Just believe God. And get to the point where you say, God, sink or swim, I'm not giving up. Mm-hmm. If I die, I'm going to die believing the word of God. What better way to die?
That's right.
Hold fast to your confession. Jesus came in the flesh like us, but endured temptation without sin. He identified with us by taking on flesh. And now we are to identify with him by walking and living in the Spirit. We are to identify with him by walking and living in the Spirit. Because we have the grace to do it. We have the grace to do it.
Yes.
We have the grace to do it.
Yes, yes.
Come boldly to the throne of grace. come boldly to the throne of grace. That's what I'm ready to do. Come boldly to the throne of grace. I used to run to the throne of grace. You know, God going to condemn me. God going to do this. You know, I didn't know the true nature of God. I didn't know the love of God. But now that I know the nature of God and love of God, I come boldly to the throne of grace. And I don't come pretending either. I come and tell him just like it is. I let him know what I'm thinking or what I'm feeling or what I'm going through. He gives me grace. He gives me mercy and grace to help me every time I need it. And I know he does the same thing for you. He does the same thing for you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the word today. We thank you for those that are here. We thank you for this resurrection day. We thank you that you came in the flesh. You came like us so that we could become like you. Oh, Lord, what great love you have for us. There's no greater love than that. That a friend will lay down his life for his friend. That a person will lay down his life for his friend. And you laid down your life, God, for those of us. Nobody was your friend when you laid down your life. Everybody was sick you. But you laid down your life for the whole world. So, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for coming to be like us so that we could become like you. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. And we adore you. Now, help us be obedient to your spirit that lives on the inside of us. Help us be aware that you live in us. You live in us. We've been made new creations. We just have to give way and give in to that spirit that you have put in us. And allow that spirit to help us walk in spirit and in truth. We have your grace, we have you, we have Holy Spirit, we have the Word. You have not left out one thing we need. We might not have all our needs met right now. Everything we need might not be manifested right now. But God, you have not left one thing out when it comes to our need. You have done it all. You gave us grace for it all. You gave us the promise for it all. You suffered for it all. You died for it all. And you rose again to assure us that it's ours. We have an inheritance. In you, Jesus, we have an inheritance. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus, you are more than enough. You are more than enough for us. You are more than enough. So God, we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love and your patience with us. You never give up on us. And you never will. You never will. So God, for that we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for blessing us to become like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.